All right. Let's read a few verses and go to the Lord in prayer. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Lord, we do thank you this morning for the opportunity to come into your house. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. I pray, oh God, that you would guide us this morning, lead us, inspire us, Lord, teach us the way that we ought to walk as your children. And I thank you, God, for all that you do. Bless each one that's come out this morning. Pray you give them a special blessing. And I thank you, dear God, that folks are still out and about on the way to church on Sunday morning. There are some of us, Lord, that are, because of health, underlying health, can't be out and can't be around folks Lord, it's very dangerous for them at this time, and I pray that you'd help them and strengthen them and be with them. And then, Lord, maybe there is some that's grown cold while they've been out and away in this season of uncertainty about COVID and stuff like that, and just got a cold heart, and Lord, slow to get back in. I pray that you'd help them, motivate them a little bit, and I thank you, Lord, for what you do. It's not, Lord, that we look down on somebody that gets cold-hearted, but Lord, we want to see them restored, want to see them get back in the groove. We'll thank you and praise you, oh God, for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, we talked a little bit last week. We talked a little bit last week about some Christian identifiers, and we've heard a little bit about that over the last little bit. We wanted to make that a little bit clear because it's a great place. Verse 2, to the saints, that's an identifier. And to the faithful brethren, that's an identifier. And so, verse 1, he says, Paul, an apostle, that's an identifier. It's a job, it's a title, it's a vocation. And the Bible says we ought to walk worthy of our vocation. We ought to be quiet in Sunday school. I'm just being serious, like Samson says. But at any rate, we ought to walk worthy of our vocation. Amen. So that worthy is an identifier. It identifies who we are, who somebody else is. Unworthy might identify who someone else is. Now you can, if you want to, you can go to this hippie place where it seems the world is, and you can just pretend that things are not as they are. If you're a man, you can be worried about your pronouns, but that's ridiculous. Even if you can get people to be silly enough to stop calling you a he or a she, you are still a he or a she. Amen. You're just sharing your delusion with everybody else. Amen? But at any rate, I read in my Bible, you said, well, some people are just confused. I don't believe that. The Bible says that God will choose your delusion. When I was a boy, a group called Guns N' Roses come out with an album called Choose Your Illusion. Just do whatever you want, whatever seems to make you happy, go for it. But God said he chose your delusion. And the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians, he said, because you don't love the truth, God will turn you over to a lie, make you believe it, and send you off down the road on some tangent. You spend the rest of your life thinking you're it when you're not it. Amen. Amen. Thinking you're her when you're a he. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And ladies, if you knew what it was like to be a man, you wouldn't want to be one. Right. Amen. Men are nasty and disgusting pigs. That's just the way that it is. And that's as nice as I can say that. The Bible doesn't say this about women, but it says all men are liars. You know what you two boys are right there? You're liars. You say, why? Because the Bible says all men are liars. All of them. Every single one of them. We pretend that we're not. I'm an honest guy. No, you're a liar. But this preacher, he's a great preacher, man. He's really a man. He inspires me. He's a liar. Especially if he's a good preacher. Amen. A liar knows how to tell. Down south, you got what they call storytellers. Everybody likes to get around the old man, the group. He tells these stories about a long time ago. He's a liar. None of that stuff happened. Very little of that stuff happened. Amen. I'm not old. I don't believe I'm old. I don't think I'm old. Sometimes my left knee feels old, but the rest of me is not old. But I'm learning more and more that the stuff that I remember is not what happened. I believe it happened. I thought it happened. I was almost certain that it happened. Like about 3 weeks ago or something like that, my wife made these, I hate to say Chinese, we'll use Japanese, egg rolls, and took them over to the kids in the gym because they were studying some Filipino country like Cambodia, a missionary or something like that. And she took it over there and all the little kids ate all that stuff, but evidently that hasn't happened yet. But yesterday I argued very nicely with my wife for 20 or 30 minutes. Yeah, you did it a couple weeks ago. No, I didn't. How do I know about it then? But so I remembered something that hadn't happened yet, but I guess she told me about it at some point in the past, and I just assumed it happened. In my mind, I remember her carrying it over there. But that didn't. That's what I thought. I said, oh, something's going. If that didn't happen, I need to start writing books. Far looking. But anyway, it didn't happen, and I need to keep my trap shut because I end up telling lies. Stuff didn't happen. Didn't work that way. But I don't know why I was. It must have come down from the heavens for some reason, but I don't know what it was. But at any rate, what I'm talking about to you this morning is folks have titles, and you may think highly of yourself, and the Bible tells you not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to. And you could, I suppose, as a Christian, get on this socialist style of, you know, all we are God's children, and that's all that's not all that matters. That's not all that matters. It matters. I'm not saying it doesn't matter. The concept is a good one. It's nice. It would be wonderful if that all we had to worry, hey, I'm saved now and that's all I have to worry about. That's all that matters, but it's just not true. That's not true. We all have a Christian identity. I told you last week that I had a sermon that had, like, in my mind, 38 points. Sister Lynette corrected me on my math, which is not hard to do. I'm not very, but there was like over 40. And, you know, some people say amen after the, man, that's, even if they're liars, that's a good preacher. Sister Lynette, that was actually 43. No, she didn't say it like that at all. Not like, but it's funny when you put it that way. But at any rate, that's a lot of identity. That's a lot of labels. And the thing about it is that Christians are so worried this day and time about the world. You're a super spreader. You come to church. You're a super spreader. People are worried about that kind of stuff. You Christians are so bigoted. How dare you raise your voice? How dare you look down on somebody who's not doing what they ought to do? How dare you do that? Afraid of labels like that. But it seems like, on the other hand, that, you know, if a preacher says, you know, you're a reprobate, that's not very charitable. Well, how come you can take it when Elvis gives you a label? It's just a revelation of which God you're serving, really. If the devil, who sets the course of this world, according to Ephesians chapter 2, gets his little minions, and I don't mean the little cute yellow ones, I'm talking about the Democrats, to call you names and whip you into line without even arresting any of you, without really making it hard on it, you bend and bow to their will. And if the preacher pleads with you for 7 weeks in a row about getting a thing right, you don't listen to that, pay no attention to that at all. It's because you've been trained. The television trained you. Well, how did they come to your house? No. So if it wasn't high school, it was television. A lot of it was school. Amen. I would hate to be in a high school, a public high school, in this day and time. They were just getting started back when I wasn't in high school in the 60s. I wasn't in high school in the 70s. So I don't know what was going on there. Probably something was going on. But I was in high school in the 80s, and they were telling us some stuff that flat out contradicted our preachers, contradicted our parents. Now, you don't have to go home and discuss this with your parents, because they just won't see it this way. But science has concluded, and what's going on now is probably hard to imagine. It is hard to imagine for me what's probably being said in the school about your parents. Well, I know it can't be good, because we all hate our parents. Your great-great-grandpa was the worst racist bigot that there ever was on the planet. Well, that's true. That's the way people, they're marching in the street about that. Down with George Washington. You don't even know George Washington. You never met him. Thomas Jefferson and all his illegitimate. You wouldn't there. Well, they got a little Jefferson DNA. Thomas Jefferson was the only one. He's the only Jefferson there is. Well, they all agree. That's even more. Everyone agrees that this is the way it is. That's more reason to run. Amen? I tend to disagree with the group. I don't know if you've noticed that yet or not, but I tend to disagree. If everybody believes it, I'm probably going to be skeptical about it. Amen? But these guys that, you know, by 2050, the temperature is going to raise by 3 degrees, and for this reason, we need to, okay, all right. I think there's a yard that needs mowing somewhere or something. Borrow a lawnmower and mow the yard, because that stuff is ridiculous. Those guys that are saying that, they pick their nose when nobody's looking. They're no smarter than you. They're more trained, but they're no smarter than this idea about intelligence. You should forget about that. I know some of you guys are sitting around, I'm a fairly intelligent guy. No, you're not. You've been trained. You went to school. You learned some concepts. You memorize some vocabulary words, and you've been trained. well. Intelligence is your ability to be trained. It is not how smart you are. Because you got all this education and you probably don't make $10 an hour. And some old guy back in the foothills of Virginia and West Virginia quit school in the sixth grade or the eighth grade, and he knows how to butcher a hog and feed his family and grow a garden, and all you know how to do is grow mold under your armpit. So that's about all you know. All you know is what they told you in the book. This is true, that's true, this is true, and that's true. And we think in 25 years, you know, Delaware is going to be underwater because the ice caps are going to melt. That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. The Bible says that God set up this boundary that the ocean can't pass. If it comes a big storm and stuff gets flooded out, it's going to evaporate and it's going to go back. You might get a flood, but the ocean's not going to break its boundary. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Besides, if you want to prove that, take a glass of ice and fill it up with water and set it on your counter. When you get home in the evening, it'll all be melted, but the water will not have overflown the glass. Because that's not the way it works. Write down the word displacement and look it up when you get home. Well, it sounds so convincing. It's because you're an idiot. Yeah. The same thing that God put in you to keep you in line is the way this world and its leader, the devil, is keeping you in line. It's called fear. Fear. When Christians get saved, God takes away the spirit of fear. Not that you don't fear God, but that you don't fear what man can do unto you. Whether through force of arms or killing you with their exhaust from their Suburban. Amen. Or COVID. I said, Brother Mike, I'm terrified of COVID. Well, everybody's going to get it. It's a virus. Go read the CDC. These masks and these precautions, okay, I'm for precautions. I'm for that. But it's to slow the spread. Which means, unlike China, they're not going to build any hospitals to accommodate you. If you die, we want you to die slowly so that you don't overflow our hospitals. That is it. Thank God there are still normal human beings that work in the medical field that are not so heartless and callous that they'll let people die, because that's what it'll come to. At some point in the future, they'll just say, this guy really doesn't need to live. We don't need Boomer. That stuff could never happen. Stalin was for the people. And Castro, he was for the people. Mao was for the people. How many millions of them died? If you had the choice of killing somebody, if you had the choice, some of your wives are going, let me listen. Had you rather do it by walking up behind them and putting a bullet in the back of their head, which is what Stalin did? Would you rather do it that way, or would you rather let a little virus slip out? One that coincidentally just kills old people. I don't believe that. I just don't believe it. Just don't believe it. At any rate, I got on that whole tangent by talking about identity. And Christians are more worried about the tags and the labels that people put on here. You're so bigoted. You're so uncaring. Now listen, I've got a brain in my head. It's easy for me. If I didn't care about people, and I just wanted to manipulate people and do what I could for myself, well, I would love you so much. You people are wonderful. Now, if I had some advantage to my mother, to where I was going to make her life better, and I was going to give her all this money, and I was going to solve all of her problems, she would have never spanked me at all. She would have carried me around on the pillow, "Your Majesty," set me down. But no. She wasn't trying to take advantage of me. She loved me and cared about me and wanted to make something out of me. Therefore, she beat my backside on a regular basis, more than I needed it. I just share that with you. I didn't need all them whippings. I thought I was a heck of a guy. I'm not sure you should say heck in the pulpit. Probably not good. But anyway, you see where I'm coming from, don't you? The whoopings are about love. They're about direction. We talked about that a little bit last. Murderer, you put him to death. Not so that somebody else doesn't. This just has no deterrent factor, so we should get rid of. No. He already killed somebody. This is about you and him. He murdered, you kill him. Now, I'm going to give you the flip. I gave you that side of it last week. I'll give you the flip side of it. We don't live in a society that has very much remnant of the principle that's required to put somebody to death. You know, that David left a lot of stuff on Solomon. Did you know that? David shed a lot of blood, did a lot of things he shouldn't have done. The man after God's own heart. And I don't say that with any idea that he wasn't. There's lots of people who would like to be godly, who would like to be like God, who just ain't. Amen? So before David dies, he says, "Solomon, see this guy over here? He cursed me pretty bad. So don't let his gray hair go down to the grave in peace." In other words, kill him. It's not that David was afraid to do that himself. It's just he saw a lack of principle in himself in his old age that I'm not justified in taking this guy out. When he was cussing at him, he said, "Don't kill him because I probably deserve it." You think he was being just pious? David was this pious guy who, I'm not gonna retaliate against this guy because I probably deserve it. In his mind, he wasn't saying, "I don't deserve that. Wait till I die, I'll have Solomon kill him." No, he wasn't afraid. And he wasn't having false piety. He was saying, "I'm not worthy to take this guy's life," and he was being serious about it. Because, let's face it, after you do some terrible things, it gets harder and harder to pass judgment on other people. Amen? Yeah. America doesn't have very much wiggle room when it comes to putting prisoners to death after you've done killed like 900 million little babies. Amen. So I'm not going to go outside to a prison where Manson's been staying for 50 years on your dime and say, "Kill this guy." You know, let that thing. I believe God has a hand in when people die and when people don't. And the Lord's able to take care of some of those things. If God wants a guy real dead, he'll let him die in his cell. Amen. And God's also merciful. And you got to realize those things. So in the course of being a preacher or being a Christian witness, you have to understand, well, that guy probably does deserve to be punished. Or that congregation probably does deserve to, as the saying around here is, it's kind of a unique saying to this church, rip their face off. Maybe the guy does deserve for the preacher to get up and rip his face off. But what do you deserve? And a preacher that has some sense will realize, "Hey, I deserve that too." So, well, Brother Mike, you call people stupid a lot. Well, it's pretty tame. That really, and it's more funny and gets you laughing rather than snoring. Yeah. Brother Mike thinks we're all stupid. I don't think about you at all. I do go around the pews and pray for you and ask God to help you and bless you. And if I don't know your name, which I'm sorry, I don't know everybody's name. There's more than 10 people in this church. I don't know your phone number. I get texts all the time. praying for you, Brother Mike. Great. Who is this? You don't have my number. I don't know who you are yet. But at any rate, I'm not saying I'm callous and I don't love people and stuff like that. It's just when a preacher preaches, he don't have time to say, now, Samson, I remember what he did 30 years ago. And when I get the opportunity to preach, I'm going to make sure he knows I know. We're not doing that. People, preachers that preach hard do not do. Oh, Glenn Stocker's coming again. He's going to say some mean and hurtful things to me. It's not to you. And most of the time, it's just to keep you awake, make you chuckle. Well, it offended me. Well, grow up. Grow up. How is it that Elvis cheated on his wife and that doesn't offend you? How is it that that doesn't offend you? How is it that I can't even think of his name, which is a good thing. How is it that what's-his-name is on his third, Brad Pitt? How is it that what's-his-name always works? How is it that Brad Pitt is on his third wife, but you still think he's a great guy? Yeah. Brad, I wish I could marry him. Sometimes you got to say crazy things when you're trying to get a message across. But how can you look at a guy and lust at a guy, and the girls are the same way? How can you look at somebody like that you're worshiping and think well of them and wish to be with them and like to be around that lifestyle when you clearly see that they're mud ducks, they're trash? Well, they're a great actor. Well, okay, can't it stay there? No, it can't stay there. You've got to worship them. And that's what's wrong with television. You're simple-minded, therefore you should never watch television. If you watch a TV show and you change the way you dress, amen, since you started watching that television show, no, and it looks like you should stop watching TV. Amen. No one should watch TV who doesn't argue with the TV. Although, if I'm watching TV with you, I don't want to hear your argument. I've got arguments of my own. I want you to be quiet so I can listen. Amen. That's the way I like to do it. But when I'm watching TV, I'm not going, wow. I'm thinking, nah. And if I have to say nah more than two or three times, I'm turning it off. Amen. Amen. Bruce Willis jumps off the top of a 50-story building and shoots a guy in every window. Which they hadn't do it, but that would be cool. But it's impossible. I can shoot way better than Bruce Willis. Way better. A lot better. A ton better. And nobody's paying me to do it. That's sad. It just is. Amen. I could do some of that stuff for real. But don't get paid. Well, life's little letdowns. Yeah. Amen. But people watch this. Did you see what they done? Did you see it? Oh, wow, it was wonderful. And people just get enamored with that kind of stuff. And some of you ladies would love to be married to Elvis. After all that he done, that doesn't matter to you. It just doesn't matter. Some ladies, but let your... walking down the mall and your husband looks at a woman, or like if we go to the mall as a family, when we get down to about, I don't remember, they move the stores around, but we get down to a certain place, Reese will say, Daddy, look over here. I said, what? Look over here, Daddy. What is it? Bad girls over there. Victoria's Secret. But if you peeked, your wife would punch you in the face. True? Is that true? Yeah. But she still likes Elvis. You wouldn't put up with it in your husband, but you love these guys on TV. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen. So my original question was, why don't you put up with a little rebuke from your preacher? Because you've been trained to be a rebel. Amen. Another identifier. You are a saved, born again. Remember we went through it last week, the brother and the unworthy and the worthy. These are Christian identifiers. You're labeled whether you know it or not. It is your testimony. Amen. That's the magic word. I'd like to give you my testimony. No, you'd like to talk. Brother Mike, are you really that skeptical? Yes. I'm really that skeptical. Now, it's not up to me. I can get a blessing out of foolishness sometimes. Amen. Now, a lot of you say, Brother Mike, we love to watch you set up there on the platform and how you respond. Well, whether I'm mad or whether I'm sad that somebody's talking that foolish, it doesn't make any difference to me. Do you know if I sit back there and steam about some falsehood that somebody told over the pulpit, which as a pastor in the church, you're supposed to be mad about that stuff. Hey, that's the congregation that God allowed me to have the oversight over. You can't lie to them. Amen? So if I sit back there and steam, a lot of times you misunderstand. Much of the time I'm just trying to think. Because I'm not coming here to waste time. I like to waste time taking naps. Stuff like that. Extra meals like Second Supper. I love Second Supper. I like stuff like, if I'm going to waste my time, I'm not going to waste my time coming to church. Amen. I come to church, I really, not because I'm, well, I don't know what I'm, but I don't really come to church for the singing. I don't come to church for prayer time because I pray at home. When we went to church as a boy, there was no such thing as prayer meeting on Wednesday night. We just come to church Sunday morning, had singing and preaching, an invitation, and people got saved. Sunday night, singing and preaching, people got saved. Wednesday night, singing and preaching, and people got saved. Yep. Amen. So if I'm sitting back there, I might look mad, I might look upset, I might look happy, but sometimes you misconstrue. I'm just thinking, I'm trying to understand what the guy is saying. I want to understand what the guy is saying. When I pray, I say, God, give me a preacher that can teach me something. I want to learn something new about the Bible. I want to remember something that I used to knew about the Bible. Used to knew. Too bad the Bible doesn't teach grammar. But if I used to know it, I want to know it again. And I want to, there's no reason to come to church except for to be edified, to be built up, sometimes rebuked. Probably it's an equal thing. It's not all wonderful, and sometimes, but it's even. There's an equality of things that God probably, I want to hear a sermon that's digested. I want to feel like the guy's thought about it more than 10 minutes before he gets up and rants about it. Amen? I want to understand it. I want to be instructed. And even if I'm sitting up here and don't agree with what somebody's saying, I still say, well, Lord, you know, that's true, and that's true, and I learn things from sermons that I don't totally agree with, unlike some Baptists who, here's another title, who are rebellious and belligerent, and he ain't telling me nothing. He offended me last week, or he offended me, and I just don't have to put up with that. Well, go and be stupid and rebellious and don't learn. Go ahead. I'm not going to be that way. There's not a portion of this country, I don't care if you're a northerner or a southerner or a Californian, God forbid, there's not a place in this world where people don't have uneducated mindsets. There's not a place in this world where they don't have foolish customs. There's not a place in this world like that. were people who were not stuck in the rut, stuck in the past, stuck with false ideas, stuck with faulty ideas and deceptive ideas from the past or from whatever their present religious or political ideologies. There's no person like that anywhere. There's no person that's not like that anywhere. But I don't want to be stuck in that stuff. Listen, how much of it is true, I don't know, but I say that I'm proud of my Southern heritage. But, you know, there's dummies down south. And just because I like being from the south doesn't mean I want to be wrong with all of them. It doesn't mean at the same time, I'm not talking about arrogance, Brother Samson. I'm not saying that I'm smarter than everybody in the south. I'm not saying that at all. If I call the congregation stupid, I'm not saying I'm smarter than all of you. All I'm saying is I don't want to be stuck with somebody's dumb idea just because everybody else believes it just to fit in. Amen. So I'm going to listen. And if that causes smoke to roll out of my ears and my eyes to roll up, it doesn't mean I'm necessarily mad, but sometimes it is true. Amen. Amen. That's just the way that it is. You say, why? Because I'm labeling people. You say, why are you doing that? Because it's wise to do it. Amen. Amen. Now I'll spend some extra time on that because if the Lord tarries, we'll be here next week and I can always catch up. But I spend time on stuff like this because the world will take something like that, like identity, and they'll hang it over your head to make you what they think you ought to be and to keep you from being who God thinks you ought to be. In other words, you're still being trained. And that's all that there is to it. Listen, you can't watch the Andy Griffith Show without being socially trained. Amen. So we've got all the episodes. But we don't skip them. Reese will say, this is the bad one, Daddy. You're right, son. Amen. When they title an episode Fun Girls, don't watch it. So, but it's Andy Griffith Show. Yeah, but. My boy says, are they bad? Yes, they are, son. I'm very sorry. I was like in a trance or something. Reese goes, Daddy, are we on a timer? I don't know if that's a timer or not. But at any rate, kind of get into it. I probably missed the timer. But anyway, the television trance and Reese turned around and said, Daddy, are they bad? Yes, they are, son. I'm very sorry about that. I'm glad God gave you to me to keep me straight, amen? But at any rate, you know, some things kids can see. 8-year-old kid, are they bad? But now he does it all the time. You know, it could be the weatherman. Dad, is he bad? Probably so. Probably so, son. But anyway, they're rarely right. But you can't label them. Well, go on, keep listening to him then. Hey, man, I don't know. On my phone, you know, the weather app, you click on the little where it says 38 degrees, and it tells you the weather for like the next 15, 20 days. That's ridiculous. It ain't going to be right. Why waste the time of looking 15 days ahead at the weather? I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. Ruth says, what would you like for dinner tomorrow? Stop talking to me. I hate to respond that way, but I don't know what I'm going to do for the rest of the day. You're asking me what I want for dinner tomorrow. I'll write you out a list for the week if you want me to. Let's see, next Saturday, January the 15th, I think I want chicken pot pie. Well, go ahead and prepare that in advance and see if I eat it. I'm not going to eat it because I don't know. But they put up the weather patterns like January the 15th, it's going to be, who are they, Farmer's Almanac? They don't know. They don't have any idea. But you know what it does? You keep scrolling through, what's the weather going to be like next week? And at the same time, you say, the weatherman's always wrong. Yeah. But you're looking at what he says it's going to be next week. You're trained. There's another little label for you. You're a sucker. You really have been suckered.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 That's so wonderful. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. I want to show you this again this week. I showed it to you last week, but I think it'll do to go back into what we need to talk about for the next. Boy, we lose fast so time. The hour between 10 and 11 o'clock just drains so fast. I don't understand it. But at any rate, the whole week between 11 o'clock Sunday and 10 o'clock the next Sunday goes by just, so fast. And then this hour just seems like a second to me. But at any rate, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now let's read this in verse number 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church. That's a pretty good crowd to be in. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified. See, these are sanctified people. Sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf. Here's a group of people, Paul says, they're sanctified, they're saved. Paul says, I want you to have grace, I want you to have peace. And he says, I thank God always for you. Pretty good labels, huh? They're beloved people, they're blessed people, they're saved people. He says that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. The death, burial, and resurrection is confirmed in you. It's a solid fact that you're saved children of God. Wonderful people. Chapter number 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Two more labels. He says, you're saved. I want you to have all the grace. I love you. I think very highly of you. I pray for you always. I'm thankful for you. You're just not spiritual. And there's the danger with labels, is that you there becomes a hatred behind the label. You know, it's okay to look at China and say, thugs, thieves, COVID starters. You're wise to do that. You say, why? Because they're thugs and thieves and COVID starters. It's very wise to do that. But you know what you do in light of that? God, please help China. Because they are souls for whom you died.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. You get somebody comes into church, they're not doing like they ought to, they're immodest. You know what you ladies ought to do? You ought not to just forget it. In your mind, you ought to be saying, that lady's immodest.
Amen.
Oh, what does it hurt you? Why should you care? Oh, I got daughters.
Amen. Right.
Growing up as a kid, I'm thankful I was able to go to church and get some influence of a different kind, but I liked all the outlaws in our family. The guys with 9-to-5 jobs, they just weren't that interesting. You said, well, you should like better things. I should, but I am a sinful human being. You know who's popular? You know who's popular on YouTube right now? It's not Lester Roloff. You said, well, I like him pretty good. Well, I'm not talking about who. You don't constitute what's popular. I know you think that, because while you don't like negative labels, you label yourself pretty highly, which is also a sign you're an idiot. You say, well, I don't think I'd say it that way. Well, the Bible says when you compare yourself by yourself, you're not wise. What does that mean in the Greek? It means you're an idiot. That's what it means. But what's popular on YouTube now is all the gangsters. They're getting out of jail, and they're writing books, and they're making more money writing books and putting up YouTube channels than they did while they were gangsters. So popular. Everybody wants to hear what they got to say. I don't. You say, why? Because the Bible changed my idea of what it. You know, a guy said, I'm a gangster. I used to kill people. Well, somebody ought to sneak around the building and put a bullet in your head. Brother Mike, you shouldn't say that. Hey, I wouldn't trust them on my block. Move in on my block and burn their house down. Brother Mike. Well, I would be doing it with love and compassion on the rest of our neighbors. Hey, man, those are not good guys. And who is the guy who sat down in a room with them and said, hey, we'll make a deal with you. If you'll come clean, instead of giving you 10 guilty sentences for 10 murders that you committed, or 30, if you'll just tell us a little bit, we'll give you a lesser sentence and we'll let you out. Who did that? Because that's not justice. That's foolish. Imagine, well, Brother Mike, they got to do it. Can you imagine being the wife of one of these guys on 7th Avenue in New York who the mob came in and said, hey, we're gonna kill you. We're going to kill your kid. Take a guy's wallet and take the picture of his kid out of his wallet and give him his wallet back and said, you do what we want or we'll come see this little girl. And it extorted the guy until he didn't have any money left, then killed him, left him in a ditch somewhere. Can you imagine that guy's wife seeing this guy on YouTube? Bragging about, hey, did I kill this guy yet? Did I kill that guy yet? And how do you think she feels? In my idea, she'd be justified in hiring somebody to go kill him. You say, why? Because the Bible said he ought to be dead. Brother Mike, that's just not a good Christian. Well, pray for me. Have as much compassion on me as you do Brad Pitt, okay? But that's what I'm talking about, you ladies. Some lady comes into church and she don't dress right, she don't act right. She smiles at your husband and you ought to get upset about that. And what, you don't have to be rude, I don't guess. But if you do, I'm not going to get upset about that. I mean, when I get up and teach Sunday school next time, I'll say, you need to be praying for that person. I'll try to teach you the right way to go. But if you got enough self-control, you might think of some, you know, we used to have a girl that come to our church. She didn't dress right. So one day I said to Ruth, she came in. I said, go back there and take her over to the house and give her something to wear. And Ruth is not going to go and say, hey, come over here. I'm going to give you some. She goes, hey, come over here. Let me give you some. The Lord laid it on my heart to give you some good church clothes. And she changed, and she was happy. And from that point on, she dressed correctly. Amen. Did she become the greatest person in the world as far as Christianity is concerned? No, but there was a label there, immodest. We didn't just accept it, but we did what we could as charitably as we could. I must really be going past time today. Are these hints? Brother Mike, you're along with it. At any rate, but you did what you could as charitably as you could to make the thing right. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And that's the way it should be. You say, why? Because we label things so that we have wisdom about what we're dealing with. Amen. Somebody's stealing and stealing and stealing. Your next door neighbor's a thief. You lock your door, right? It's because you're understanding and not prejudice at all. No, you lock your door because you're saying the guy's a thief. The problem is you won't go the extra mile to label the thing what it is and try to help the guy not be a thief anymore. So you see that what the Democrats are, you see what the Republicans are, you see what the Chinese are, you see what this group is, and you see what that group is, and you label people accordingly, and then you go to God and say, God, these people need your help. I told you this, I saw eyebrows raise, and people get like, well, I can't understand that, so I just let you go with it. But at any rate, you hear a preacher say something that isn't true, that's not true. If you don't like that approach, then you can ask me to resign. I might not, probably won't. I moved a long way. It'll be easier for you to move to a different church than it will be for me to move back to Georgia. But at any rate, you can't just say amen to make somebody feel better. Amen? And you can't just overlook it because you've got a congregation that you're supposed, you're, the Bible says as far as a preacher-congregation relationship goes or a ministry-congregation relationship goes, we're to be subject one to another. Paul didn't say, y'all be subject to me. Paul said, we're subject to one another. That means I owe you the truth. I owe you prayers. I mean, I'm not praying to you, but I owe it to you. If I'm subject to you, then I'm praying for you. I'm asking God for the right message for you. If we do that, then you're going to have to hear hard truth sometimes. And I'm not just going to think, these guys are all reprobates, and go, you wonderful people. Brother Mike, are you saying that we're all reprobates? No, that's just an illustration. I'm saying a person can't, you can't see somebody in your congregation that needs dire help, then keep your mouth shut and keep saying nice things so they'll keep coming back because that costs too much. Saying nice things so people will keep coming back is too high of a cost to pay because sin hasn't stopped killing people. The wages of sin is still death. I'm saved though, but the wages of sin is still death. Amen. Pornography will still wreck your mind. It'll still wreck your mind. Amen. Watching dirty movies will wreck your mind. Evil communication corrupts. Evil, that's a label, corrupts good manners. Good manners. Amen. Well, we're all bad, Brother Mike. Well, why did Jesus say, out of a good heart? Jesus said that. I don't care what the Baptists say. The Bible says, Brother Mike, that the heart is desperately wicked. I understand that, but Jesus said, out of a good heart. But he's probably not as smart as Isaiah or Moses. I'm not saying Moses was wrong. I'm not saying Isaiah was wrong. I'm saying Jesus said it. Argue if you want to. But you don't argue with Brad Pitt. Now this, I'll give you the conclusion of the identity factor. People don't want to identify things because they are things. You know what Brother Mike is? He's a liar because all men are liars. Brother Mike is a man. Everything that goes along with being a man, Brother Mike is. Well, then you really don't have, now I don't have, Brother Samson, this is the thing. I don't have the authority to correct you physically. I can't put you in the electric chair for killing somebody. I can't tell you you're not allowed to come to church for 3 weeks because you disrespect them. I'm not allowed to do that. But what I do have the authority to do is correct you verbally, and then God will do all that other stuff. Amen? And you as a Christian, you don't have the right to go over and flog the lady who sits across from you because she's not dressed modest, but you have the authority to say, that's not right. And you have the authority to intervene in her life or his life to the point where you help them and disciple them to get better. And you ought to care enough to do that. And you ought to care. You remember, a lot of people, they discipline their children after their own likes and dislikes. And you fly off the handle, get hot under the collar because your kid's interrupting your TV show. Get out of here, you're bothering me. Talk to your kid like a dog. And move your membership when the preacher gets a little loud. You're going down to Dover slots and spending all your rent money, and the preacher hollers at you, "That's off limits, preacher, that's off limits. You can't talk to me that way." But you bawl your kid out worse than that because he spit a little something on your favorite carpet. Because you are a moron and ain't got the sense God gave a billy goat, and you need to get your priorities straight. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. You don't want nobody talking bad to you. How you talk to your kids? Amen. Well, that's why the Bible says folks that are novices shouldn't be pastors and stuff like that. Well, I can remember, you first have a kid, you know, you respond like your parents. I started to call my kid stupid one time, and I remember it vividly. But, you know, something arrested me right there, and I stopped and thought about it a little bit. I ain't raising my kids like that. I ain't talking to them like that. Just ain't going to do it. Just ain't going to do it. Amen. They spill something on the floor, jump all over them, give them whoopings for, not if they do it 10 times in a row, if they stand there and go like this. Something's going to happen. There's going to be some goings on. Amen. A stirring in the mulberry, but that's going to be me picking a switch. But at any rate, I think you understand where I'm going with this. Get irate over stuff, but then get upset when real, hey, preachers, I think you'll agree, preachers got reason to raise their voice in this day and time that we live. And it's not a lack of love that caused you to do it. It's not arrogance. Amen? Any preacher that doesn't know, any preacher, I guarantee you this, if it's a sincere guy, if he's preaching hard to you, he understands who he is and knows you've got the potential to be probably about half as bad. Amen. I don't know a preacher that's worth his salt that doesn't think he's the worst guy that ever been. I don't know, because I don't hang out with guys like that. I don't hang out with preachers, guys that are just, "I preach." Big deal. Big deal. If I see a guy who I know, when he's preaching or when he's talking to me as a friend, or I meet him at the back, you know, if a guy comes up to me, "Hi," if this happens to pastors a lot, I need to quit, but I'm going to end with this. A guy come up to you, you go to a camp meeting, this guy comes up, "Hi, I'm evangelist, so-and-so," mucking him up. Give you a card. "Here's my card. I'd like to come by and be a blessing to your congregation."
Oh, yeah.
Bring hams and turkeys.
Yeah.
You want to be a blessing to them, right?
Amen. Amen.
They're not coming.
No.
No, sir. It's just not going to, because that's a self-promoter.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen?
Yes,
oh, I could talk more about that, believe me. But I'm not going to. It's time to quit. I've probably went too long. Where's that little dinghy thing I heard going off a while ago? You can ring that now, because I probably should have quit the first time I heard it. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and for your grace. We pray you'd help us, watch over us. Lord, I think, and I know about my own heart, God. It grieves me, God, when I see things that ought not be, and it grieves me just as much when it's me that's doing the things that ought not be. And Lord, we could very easily shut our mouths and close our mouths and say, "Well, I'm guilty too." But Lord, the burden of the gospel, the burden of the truth is still a burden, whether we're imperfect men or not. We're called, and Lord, we're directed by you who knew all things, who know all things. And Lord, you gave us a direction for the ministry that you thought we ought to follow. And Lord, we ought to follow that, whether we think low of ourselves or whether we recognize the lowliness of ourselves or not. And I pray, oh God, you'd not let us give in to this socialist movement that's sweeping our country. And Lord, the socialist movement has killed our country to the place where it no longer has the principles that it once had. And Lord, it'll do the very same thing for the church, and the church will be a dead church who's more worried about wealth and image, as it says in Revelation chapter 3. I pray you'd help us to avoid becoming that, and that you'd help us, God, even though we can't attain every good thing and wonderful thing. Help us to still press toward the mark of those good things and principled things. And Lord, we can't be perfect in our principles, but we can certainly strive for it. And we can strive, whether as a preacher or whether as a person in the congregation, we can strive to make one another better. As Paul said, I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. Help us, O God, to edify one another, to pray for one another, to try to strengthen one another. And God, in order to do that, we have to be very wise about the people who we're dealing with. And I thank you for that. Thank you for, Lord, labeling everything just as it should be in the Word of God, and help us follow it. Help us to be very compassionate to those who don't meet the standard, because we ourselves know that we don't meet the standards in many ways. Pray you'd help us. And Lord, where one man is weak, I pray that you'd send somebody strong in that area, because that man that's strong in that area is also weak in other areas. And help them. Help me, God, because I know I have many and various weaknesses, God. And I pray you'd help, Lord, and strengthen. And I thank you and praise you, God, for all that you do. Help us not to just come to church to be part of a movement or part of a fad, but help us ever search, God, for your will and your direction in our life. Bless us. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.